Good morning, let's pray. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Amen. And thank you to our music group for singing that wonderful hymn. And it does indeed sum up what it means to follow Christ and to serve him. It requires vision, inspiration and joy. And this week there are two big celebrations. Today, of course, Mothering Sunday, and then on Wednesday, St. Patrick's Day. And these both are occasions to celebrate the vision, inspiration and joy that mothers and our patron saint bring to us. So enjoy and celebrate both days this week in your homes with your families and have a great time. Celebration and sacrifice may not be two things that you might think go together. However, we are told in Hebrews 13 verse 15 to offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. And today we are thinking about a sacrificial journey. And I want to begin with singing a sacrifice of praise. It is often in the times when we're feeling lost, hurt or sorrowful that singing and praise can open cracks in our darkness to bring God's light and saving grace into our lives. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In this psalm, David makes it clear that his response to feeling besieged and to his day of trouble is to praise the Lord as his light and salvation. David gives a wonderful description of a sacrifice of praise as he sings this psalm. More than anything, his desire is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And there he will sacrifice with shouts of joy. He will sing and make music to the Lord. What a wonderful expression the beauty of the Lord is in verse 4 of that psalm. The Greek word for beauty, kalos, is the word used to describe everything that Jesus did. Dostoevsky describes Jesus as infinite beauty. And yet, in Isaiah 53 and verses 2 to 3, we read that Jesus had no outward beauty. He had a different kind of beauty, the beauty of holiness. As you seek the Lord and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord in worship, he lifts you above all the distractions, fears, and temptations. And as David puts it in that psalm in verses 5 to 6, it's quoted this way in the Message version. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world. God holds me head and shoulders above those who try to pull me downwards. Psalm 27 verses 5 to 6. So a sacrificial journey means singing God's praise, a sacrifice of praise. And as we do so, we encounter amidst the chaos and the challenges, the beauty of the Lord. Singing is the first thing in a sacrificial journey. And the second thing is sorrow. I Still Believe is a movie that I've watched in the last few days. It's the story of Christian singer Jeremy Camp. He's a man who faced many sorrows early in his life. And yet God spoke to him that he would take his sorrows and enable him to shine God's light through his sorrows into the lives of many people. And that indeed is what happened. From the depths of sorrow, the Holy Spirit guided Jeremy to offer a sacrifice of praise, to speak of God shining his light into his troubles and sorrows, and to share that message with all who came to hear him sing. In his song, I Still Believe, he shares his story of being broken yet choosing to believe. These are the lyrics. Scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. Seems I don't know where to start. But it's now that I feel your grace fall like rain from every fingertip, washing away my pain. I still believe in your faithfulness. I still believe in your truth. I still believe in your holy word. Even when I don't see, I still believe. And when we turn to Isaiah 53 and verses 1 to 3, we read these words. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. The journey Jesus took was one of sorrows as he travelled through this world, a journey which ultimately took him to the very epicenter of the wilderness, the cross. We know that he wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. He wept over the city of Jerusalem as well, and he mourned the loss of his cousin John the Baptist. So Jesus knows intimately our experiences of grief and pain. He not only knows of our grief, he reaches out to us. Isaiah 53 in verse 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And earlier in Isaiah, in chapter 51, we read, the islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. So what does the arm of God represent? Well, it represents his reaching down into the lives of his people. The second century church father Irenaeus said, the Son and the Spirit are the hands of God. They're the persons of the Trinity through whom God acts in history. Jesus is God's arm reaching down from heaven into the lives of his people, coming in power to rescue them. When people look at Jesus, there's nothing in him that attracts them. However, God's saving power touches lives through his word. And then the power of the Spirit reaches into our history and into our lives to open our eyes to the message of Jesus. The great reformer Martin Luther explains it in this way. To believe that Christ, so exceedingly repulsive and killed between robbers, is the Saviour. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. God reaches down. And last Saturday we had our Holy Spirit Day on the Alpha course. And even though we were all in our own homes, we had a real sense of the Holy Spirit reaching down right where we are and speaking into our lives. Have you received the power of the Spirit? Do you know the Lord's arms reaching down with saving power, with comforting power, with revival power, with transforming power? That is the power of the Spirit. And Jesus holds out his arms to receive us. And John Calvin often preached about Jesus holding out his arms as he spoke the gospel. He said he was a man of sorrows, and from his sorrows, the power of God was released to reach into each of our lives powerfully. And so a sacrificial journey is a journey with sorrow, but still believing. And thirdly, it is a journey of sacrifice. And on that journey, we experience the hope and life of the gospel. There are many who have sacrificed so much for others, offering help and care, or just being there as a friendly face. It has been so encouraging to see it in the midst of this pandemic. And in the church too, we've been learning from the fact that we aren't masters of our own destiny. We aren't in control. We have to rely on others, and we are learning that God is bigger than we are. And Isaiah was given a revelation of the Holy Spirit and the power of the cross. He wrote about it in verses 4 to 6 of chapter 53. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so as we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet God laid on him the sins of us all. This word of prophecy is truly amazing. It is the centerpiece of the Bible story and of the whole course of human history. Everything turns on the amazing sacrifice of the Son of God. Coming back to Martin Luther, he described it in this way. Note the wonderful exchange. One sins, another pays the penalty. One deserves peace, the other has it. This is the supreme and chief article of faith, that our sins placed on Christ are not ours again. That peace is not Christ's, but ours. Once this foundation is established, everything that is built upon it will be well, says Luther. Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, and so someone has to die for sin. Jesus then swaps with us. He has died in your place and mine. He is our hope. Because he took our place, we can receive new life. When Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," the price was paid. So for us, salvation is free. This is the good news of great joy that brings hope and life. And the Bible writer, John Stott, explains it like this. At the cross, in holy love, God through Christ paid the full penalty for our disobedience himself. He bore the judgment we deserve in order to bring us the forgiveness we do not deserve. On the cross, divine mercy and justice were equally expressed and equally reconciled. This divine justice and mercy is the Holy Spirit, the arm of God, reaching down to lift us from our sins and to bring us to abundant life. The price is paid. Jesus has given his life that we can have life now and eternally. By his death and resurrection, he defeated sin, evil, and death itself. And as a result, we can be forgiven, set free from guilt, shame, and addictions. He sacrificed his life to give you hope and life. And so the question for each of us is, will you receive him and follow him on a sacrificial journey in life? A journey of still believing, a journey of sacrifice. Will you invite him into your life? And so today I urge you not to put it off. If you've never done so before, invite him into your life, turning from your sins and receiving Jesus. And then new life begins, and your life can be a beacon of light and hope and eternal life.